Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The word alive is worth the drive. We need to continue to grab hold of eternity. So eternity grabs hold of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 7, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So we are in the ministry of the Spirit. It is associated with the new covenant. And it is a ministry of breath. But it's the ministry of the breath of God. Amen? Let's continue. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. In verse 14. But their minds were what? They were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. In other words, the veil is taken away in the anointing. Christ is a representation of the anointing. So the veil is removed by the anointing. Has everybody got this? In verse 15. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So one must turn to the Lord. In this, he's turning to the anointing. Look at the next verse. Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. Now the Lord is the what? The Spirit. Now who is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Somebody got this? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, or there is freedom. And there is a process of freedom that the Spirit wants to talk about today. Is everybody okay? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now again, when one turns to the anointing, I said the anointing. See, people still look at Jesus in the flesh, but he's no longer in the flesh. The anointing of God, the eternal presence and power of truth of God Almighty manifested in the natural realm through the Word who became flesh. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and start at verse 1. Stand what? Stand what? Fast. That means you got to fight. To maintain your fight for freedom, you must stand fast. Stand fast. In other words, don't get moved. Stand fast in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ, the anointing, has made us free. See, you got to understand, you can no longer read the Word of God according to the carnal precepts. You must indulge the Word of God by the Spirit of God. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ. So stand fast, therefore, fight for the freedom by which the anointing has brought to us free. And not be entangled again with the yoke of what? Bondage. Because the world brings what? Bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. He's talking about doing a ritual that's supposed to set you free. Rituals don't set you free. The anointing does. Christ will profit you nothing, he said, if you do these rituals. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, the anointing. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. And grace is the plan of God, isn't it? In other words, you have fallen. You have fallen from the grace. You have fallen from the plan of God that is delivered to me and you by the anointing. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from what? Obeying the truth. Then he says, this persuasion does not come from God who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So it's very important that we understand this. He says, stand fast. In other words, maintain your fight for freedom by maintaining your position in Christ or in the anointing, which is, again, the eternal presence, power, and truth. In the anointing. Why? Go to Isaiah 10. Process of freedom. Isaiah 10 and verse 27. Is everybody there? Isaiah 10, 27, let's speak it out. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the what? Anointing oil. Or the anointing. The eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Amen? Go to Matthew 11. So there's an area where you and I must maintain position in the anointing. Maintain position where? In the anointing. Now, I don't want to go all over, but I want to share something very quickly with you. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In this respect, he says, I am the tabernacle of God. I am God and the tabernacle. And one of the things about the anointing is the representation of the tabernacle. So one of the things the enemy tries to do is sway you from moving out of the anointing or moving out of the tabernacle. There are three chambers to the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And there's that place where you are filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit in the holy place, not in the outer court. The outer court is salvation. The holy place is priesthood, and the most holy place is what we call kingship or warrior. Way, truth, and life. And in this, the enemy tries to sway us from coming out of the anointing. So there's this place where the anointing brings freedom. So there's this place where you and I must maintain a position in the anointing because we're maintaining a position in the tabernacle. Everybody okay? Anybody okay? Matthew 11, 25. Glory. Let's speak it. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. So the Son reveals the Father. Because the Son and the Father are one. He says, come to me. Everyone say, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. So Jesus said, come to me. See, the anointing is saying, come to me. Come to me. Look at the next verse. Take my what? Yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. Why? Because freedom is learned. Everyone say freedom is learned. He said, take my yoke. In other words, he's going to break your yoke of burden of bondage from the world so that you take on the yoke of freedom. But he says that there is a process of freedom which you must learn. So freedom is learned. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So freedom is learned, but we are learning from the anointing. Has everybody got it? 1 John chapter 2. So freedom is not intellectual. Freedom is not an intellectual learning. It's a spiritual learning. You are learning from the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. It's not intellectual. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last what? Please grab hold of this. Antichrist means coming against the anointing. The powers of darkness do not come against religion, they promote it. They come against the anointing because the anointing breaks the yoke of religiosity, because religiosity brings bondage. God is not interested in religious ordinances or rituals. He's interested in you and the anointing. He meets you in the anointing. He told Moses, I will speak to you from the mercy seat, which is the Ark of the Covenant. Right before that, and that is in the most holy place, he said, I will speak to you there. Because it's a representation of being in the anointing. So it's our responsibility to maintain position in the anointing. And the Antichrist spirits, they promote religion. They promote bondage. They promote false doctrine. And they promote self. Is everybody okay? And they promote self. Watch, because this is what happened in verse 19. Would you speak it with me? It says they what? They went out from us. Why do they go out? They actually left the anointing. They walked out of the anointing. Because they took heed of the voice of the spirit of Antichrist, because the Antichrist spirit promotes self. And so self was promoted, so not realizing individuals run from the anointing, even though they think they may be running from a ministry, they may be running from worship or whatever. They're not running from man, they're running from the presence of God that is trying to free them. That's why many people sometimes they get free, and then they start listening to the voice of the stranger, which begins to promote self. That voice of the stranger is called Antichrist. He is against the anointing because he fears the anointing. So grab hold of this. The Antichrist, anti-anointing spirits, want to move you out of the tabernacle. They want to move you out of the anointing. And many, the Bible even tells us many will fall from the faith in the latter days. Why? Because they're going to be moved out of the anointing and pick up the religiosity and the ritual that says, well, I can just read my word, I'm okay. No power. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. No power. Because only in the anointing is there power to overcome the voice of the stranger and self. Verse 19, let's speak it. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you what? You know all things, but you know what? Hey, listen, if your enemy knows that you know all things, isn't he going to try to sway you from having fellowship in the anointing? Why? Because the reason why you know all things is not you that knows all things. It's the anointing that knows all things. And if you maintain the position of the anointing, you will know all things. But if you don't maintain the position and anointing, the enemy deceives us. Because his greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. So when he promotes self, the first thing that manifests is fear. Fear of lack. Fear something might not happen for you. Fear. And this is what's going to happen even stronger. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you will see a tremendous separation in the body. Because religion will end up coming against the anointing. Just like Saul came against David. So everybody got it. King Saul had the anointing and lifted from him, didn't he? Because he'd be disobedient. And then he went after David, who was carrying the anointing. He wanted to kill David, and he didn't even know why. He began to hate David and didn't even know why he hated David. And Saul would repent. I'm sorry, this is my son. I don't understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. But the Bible says he had a distressing spirit on him. He was demoned. He was demonized because of his disobedience. That distressing spirit was a spirit of Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit was using Saul to come after David. So the end result was Saul died. Amen? He couldn't take the torment anymore. Verse 21. I have not written you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar that he who denies Jesus is the Christ? Now grab hold of this. He who denies that Jesus is the Word who became flesh, but he's actually the anointed one, known as the anointing. He's the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, who came into the natural realm. He who denies the anointing. Has everybody got this? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. So a believer can come in agreement with the spirit of Antichrist and begin to run from the anointing and not even know it. They don't understand. Because they've taken the voice of the stranger. The voice of the stranger has bound them up and put them in religiosity. So they go to Bible studies. They go to all kinds of other things to avoid the anointing. But they associate with places where the anointing is not dwelling. They associate with religiosity because it's more comfortable for them. Because the anointing exposes darkness. The anointing exposes the powers of darkness, the spirits. When Jesus got out of the boat after he went to the other side, the first thing, the demon possessed man, and the demon said, "Ah, you are the Christ. What are you doing here?" See, the demons acknowledge the anointing. Oh, glory, I pray we get this today. Because you're going to see this rise up, and you must be ready. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Now, I want to share with you what replaces the anointing. It's called familiar spirits. Familiar spirits promote self and emotion. They promote self and emotion. Is everybody okay? And verse 25. And this is a promise that he's promised us eternal life. These things I've written you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you with religion. Deceive you. Listen. People do not even know that they have a familiar spirit. They think that they are walking in the anointing. But if there's rebellion or disobedience and, you know, foolishness, works of the flesh, and all of these goofy things, you know them by their fruit. They may have a good talk, a good image, but their talk is always will be in an area where they're coming against. Coming against the anointing. And they don't even realize they're talking against the anointing. They're actually coming against ministries and things of that degree. because the anointing has offended them. Because it exposed them. And verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing what? Teaches you, you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. You got to remember, he now speaks as the anointing as a person. Because the anointing is a person. He's called the Christ. Jesus is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. He is the offspring of the Holy Spirit. He came into the natural realm to empower us to overcome the natural realm of sin, the self nature, and deception. Sin meaning the presence of evil, your self nature, and deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's speak it out. Therefore, from what? Now on, we do not regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus what? No longer, because Christ is no longer of the flesh. But he left his spirit here. So the spirit is who we acknowledge in the name of the Christ known as Jesus. That's why it is the ministry of the Spirit, is the covenant now of the breath of God. Has everybody got it? And verse 17. Therefore, if what? Anyone is in Christ, the anointing, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So what happens is, what the enemy tries to do is move us out of the holy place to the outer court. He tries to move us out of the most holy place to the holy place and then to the outer court. So everybody got it? So we must maintain position in the anointing. Amen? Also known as the tabernacle of God, which helps us to separate. So there's an area that we must separate what is eternal and what is temporary. We must be able to see these things. Because what is temporary is fact, and what is eternal is reality. That's real. So the seen is fact, but the unseen is eternal, or what we call reality. See, the reality, in other words, the unseen realm must be more real to you than the seen realm, even though we live in it. But that's what the Antichrist wants you to do. He wants you to maintain an arena that you are bound to short vision, short-sighted, only to the things that are natural, but not the spiritual. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, reality is learned. In other words, seeing the unseen is learned. It's learned, it's taught to us by the anointing. But I want to share with you that the anointing allows me and you to go through sufferings to learn. 1 Peter chapter 5. Is everybody there? Verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, that he may answer you, position you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he's trying to draw you out of the anointing. It says, resist him, fight him, steadfast in the faith. Faith is spiritual sight. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody goes through this. But may the God of all grace, in other words, the one who's got the plan, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered. In other words, you've learned. Suffer a while. That learning is going to bring what? It's going to perfect, it's going to establish, it's going to strengthen, and it's going to settle you so that you are not moved. Is everybody all right? The enemy tries to move us out of position, tries to move us out of the anointing and bring us back into religion. In Luke chapter 9. Process of freedom. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the anointing is freedom. Luke 9. Oh, the glory. Verse 23. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, everyone say all. If anyone desires to come after me or the anointing, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily. I said daily. And follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. And one of the things is very vital. The process of freedom. He says, here's the process of freedom. Deny yourself. Now, remember, he's saying take off the sinful nature. Because the word sin means this. Write it down. It's a self-imposed nature. That's sin. It is the presence of evil. It has its own nature. It's a self-imposed nature. Sin. S-I-N. And it is the presence of evil that maintains that self-imposed nature. So the process of freedom, the first thing we must do is deny ourselves or take off the sinful nature. He says, pick up your cross. In other words, put on the divine nature. Then he says, follow me. In other words, we must follow the truth. And he is known as the Spirit of Truth. Now he says, do this daily. Everyone say daily. So every day you must deny yourself. You are taking off the sinful nature, putting on the divine nature, and following the truth. That is the process of freedom. Romans 6. Romans 6. Hallelujah. Are you learning anything? Romans 6:12. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. So the plan of God through the anointing allows you to overcome the sinful nature or the self-imposed nature of sin. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed, as everyone say, obeyed, from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free, everyone say free, from sin, you became slaves of what? Righteousness. So sin being the presence of evil or the self-imposed nature. The old man being the offspring. Now listen, the old man being the offspring of Satan or darkness. That's what self is. It's the offspring of darkness. It was brought forth by the flesh, not by the spirit. So he said, now submit and obey and learn from the anointing to maintain your position in Christ so that the yoke can be broke from the old man of bondage. That means that we must daily deny ourselves, take off the old man, put on a new man by picking up the cross, and follow the truth. These things will maintain your position in the anointing and in the tabernacle. Ephesians chapter 2. Because the devil will try to get you to present yourself to yourself. Come on, get that. He tries to get you to present yourself to yourself. So the only thing you're looking at is yourself. And what he does is then he slowly moves you out of the tabernacle or out of the anointing and brings you back into bondage to religion. Now you're back in bondage again. But there's another desire within you that wants to do things right, but you can't. And you're miserable. Unfulfilled. Knowing the truth, but yet not practicing it. Terrible place to be. Ephesians chapter 2. Then oppression comes. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Let's speak it. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of what? Wrath, just as the others. So that self-imposed nature are known as children of wrath. It is the offspring of darkness. And verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, in other words, he considered us, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ, which is the what? The anointing. And by grace you've been saved by God's plan. Why? Because in the anointing is the plan of God. Oh, glory. And raised us up together that made us sit together in heavenly places. In what? In the anointing. So you are seated in heavenly places in the anointing, not in the flesh. Woo. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a what? A gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So the anointing is a gift of God, isn't it? That's why he said, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them, or walk in the anointing. Grace is God's plan to learn, Remember, freedom is learned by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The first thing we must do is deny self or take off the old man. Colossians 3. The process of freedom. You know, some people aren't willing to go through the process. It says daily. So what you did yesterday is what waiting for you today. What you didn't do yesterday is waiting for you today. And what you did yesterday is waiting for you today. So we must deny ourselves daily. Take off that old man. Colossians 3, verse 1. Let's speak it. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Did you notice that now everything is speaking about Christ? Christ, Christ. I mean, this is a Greek word. Everything else in the Bible is English. It's a Greek word. It actually means anointed one. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus is the name of the anointed one and his anointing. So now you'll see how he's writing this, and everything is associated with Christ. Is everybody okay? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is now hidden where? And meaning in the what? In the anointing. Your life is in the anointing. The anointing is our what? Our life. Appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, and so on. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who has created him, where there is neither Greek, Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So he's saying put on the divine nature of Christ by getting positioned in the anointing. Amen? So the first thing we must do is deny self, take off the old man. The second thing we must do is pick up our cross and put on the new man. It's our responsibility to put on the new man. With submission and obedience. With what? Submission and obedience. 1 John chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. First John chapter 4. Process of freedom. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow him. In verse 4, 1 John 4, 4. Let's speak it together. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world what? Hears them. Well, let me tell you, you got to remember that he's all, Paul and the epistles and John, and man, they were writing to believers. You understand that this Bible is written to believers. So you've got to begin to understand that scripturally, the scriptures are given to believers because the anointing is going to interpret what God is saying. An unbeliever has a hard time understanding what the Word of God is. And if you recall, when you first believed, you had a hard time understanding the Word of God. Until the Holy Spirit, until you started getting positioned in the anointing, then the Word of God became food to you. See, this is where you know where you are positioned. If the Bible is still a book to you, then you're out of position. It's not a book. It represents the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, the anointing. Amen? Oh, glory. It says, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of what? Truth and the spirit of error. Does everybody see this? So he said, listen. Deny yourself, take off the old man, pick up the cross, put on the new man, and follow the spirit of truth. Follow the spirit of truth, or you'll end up in error. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4. Verse 7. Let's speak it together. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of what? Not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested. In other words, the life of the anointing. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake, that in the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I what? I follow the truth. So I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. Now, in other words, the power of God in us is in this. It's talking about the anointing. So we must continue to deny self. You know, self is also associated with willpower of the soul. Willpower of the soul. It's the willpower of the soulish self. But what happens is by denying oneself, he takes off the old man. By picking up the cross, he puts on the new man. And by following the spirit of truth, he maintains the new life. So there are things that we must do in cooperation. And there are three P's I want to talk about. Three peas in a pot, you know. Okay. Hallelujah. The first P is prayer. If you do not have a prayer for life, there's no way you can deny yourself. It's impossible. Why? Because prayer brings power. In Psalm 109. So prayer is connected with what we call discipline. Psalm 109. Three P's to maintain the process of freedom. And it ain't pretty, pretty, pretty. Oh, glory. Three P's to maintain the process of freedom. Psalm 109. Is everybody there? Praise God. Let's start at verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. So he's hearing the voices. Do you understand that? This is an internal fight that's happening with him. In return for my love, they are my what? Accusers. But I what? I do what? I give myself to prayer. In other words, he's saying, I'm making contact next up with heaven. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Understand this. Without prayer, you cannot deny yourself. So this is going to need to take discipline. Everyone say discipline. So prayer is connected to discipline. You must discipline yourself to pray. Psalm 71. The three P's. Prayer. Three P's to maintain the process of freedom. Prayer. And the next one is praise. I've talked to some people, and the only time they pray is when they're blessing their food. Oh, Lord, thank you for the food. May you bless it. Hallelujah. That's not prayer. Psalm 71, verse 4. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be what? Continually of you. Prayer, praise. Now in praise, it must be consistent. He said, my praise shall be continually of you, right? So prayer must be disciplined. Praise is consistency. In other words, you praise and worship the Lord. And the third P is called perseverance. Prayer, praise, and perseverance. Hebrews 12. These three will help you to establish and maintain the process of freedom. And a process of freedom is denying yourself, take off the old man, pick up the cross, put on the new man, and follow the truth. Hebrews 12. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 1, please. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with what? Endurance or perseverance. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exaltation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers. I love that. Human. I love how he now starts separating. Yeah, man, we're talking about there's a difference between a human light and eternal light. For we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Why? Because freedom is learned. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Hallelujah. So we are in need of endurance, or known as perseverance, the three P's: prayer, praise, and perseverance. Amen. And Ephesians 4, and I'm going to close here. Because freedom is learned, and there's a process of freedom to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. And the three P's will assist you in the process of freedom: prayer, praise, and perseverance. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, in verse 13, till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or the fullness of the anointing. The fullness of the anointing is maintained by denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following him. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth or being led by the Spirit of truth. Amen? In love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, or the anointing, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So understand that the three P's will assist you in the process of freedom. Amen. So prayer is to be disciplined. You're to be disciplined daily in prayer. You are to be consistent in praise. Has everybody got it? And you are to endure in perseverance, so that you deny yourself by taking off the old man, pick up the cross by putting on the new man, and to follow him who is the Spirit of truth. And these things are learned. They are learned. In other words, so we come to the fullness of Christ by maintaining position in the anointing, in the process of freedom. Has everybody got it? Good, let's do it. So we don't get moved out of position by the Antichrist spirit who comes against the anointing. That same spirit that chased David is chasing you. And you're going to find more and more split in the body of Christ. More and more religion will pop up. But you're going to find much more of the anointing take place, because God knows. He knows that the powers of darkness are influencing tremendously, infiltrating. But God is preparing us. So now you got the information to get prepared. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. Protect it with the blood and establish us, perfect us, and settle us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah.